And welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this Sunday morning. We are almost entering the winter season, or the fall season basically, September 15th today. Thank you for joining here and also online to worship God together. God has given us one more day to live in this world, so let us be grateful for that. And we all remembered the 9/11 this past week, so I just thought that it would be a fitting screensaver that you see there, that was on top of New York City on 9/11/2023. So last year, 9/11, that appeared on the sky on top of New York City. It was on the news. So I'll be preaching a little bit about rebuilding ourselves after ruins. So that is, I thought it would be a fitting reminder for us about God's faithfulness. You know, nothing can stop God's people. And regardless of what we go through, God can rebuild from the ruins. And He has a better future for us. So that's a promise. I hope that will encourage us and motivate us. The announcements are listed at the second page. Those are the regular announcements. Let us continue to take part in these ministries, activities, the food bank ministry, and the books are available, and also classes will be scheduled based on availability of our volunteers. Our third Thursday luncheon will be on September 19, this Thursday at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral, so please join for a time of fellowship and lunch. And the mid-year church financial statement is still available if anybody hasn't gotten it. I will take that out after next week. So please pray for our finances. They are a little bit behind, but God is faithful and will continue to do His ministry with the resources that God has given us to do. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of the church by your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. God loves a cheerful giver. We accept our donations on the website also, our church website, piedmontumc.com. Please use the different opportunities that you have there by credit cards or debit cards, bank draft, or many other options that are available there. Those are the announcements that I have. Anybody have any special announcements, anything yet to add? If no one else has any other announcements, let us continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The opening hymn is hymn number 77, How Great Thou Art. If you are able, please stand.
Yeah.
Eternal and everlasting God, we thank you for this opportunity that you have given us as a church family to come here and also online to worship together. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day, the good health and strength that we enjoy in our bodies, all the material and physical and spiritual blessings that we enjoy every day, all from you and you alone, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your Son Jesus Christ who came to this world to die for us so that we can have eternity with you. We marvel at your majesty and power, O God, and we are astonished by the mystery of your redeeming love. Thank you for everything that you give us in spite of our sins and our weaknesses. We thank you for your grace and redemption and protection that you give us every day. We come before you as your children, calling you Father. Help us, Lord, to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints around the world and in heaven, angels praising you. Help us to lift up your name and honor your name, Lord, that your presence will be here with us, will be touched in our hearts and our minds as we go from this place so that we can be more powerful witnesses for your love. Bless us today, Lord, as we worship together so that we can lift up your name. And your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our fellowship time now, so you can get up and greet each other in Christian love.
Oh, yeah. And we sing it. in any of our hymn books. So Lisa and Ivy are going to sing it for Liliana today.
Thank you, thank you.
Beautiful music. Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. It's on page 772. If you're able, please stand for the responsive reading.
Do not be angry because of the wicked,
Do not be envious of the wrongdoers.
For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will do in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, who will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in God, who will act, bringing forth your vindication as light and your right as the noonday.
Be still and wait patiently before the Lord. Do not be angry because of those who prosper in their way, because of those who carry out evil devices.
Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not be angry, it leads only to evil.
For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall possess the land.
Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look at the place, they will not be there.
But the meek shall possess the land and delight in abundant prosperity.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It is our prayer time as we come before God with our prayers of blessings and also prayers of concerns and also intercede or pray for other people's needs as well. God has given His children the privilege to pray for everything, including others' needs. So let us go to God in prayer at this time. The regular prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin. As I got an update about Jean McBride, that she has been transferred to a rehab facility up in Canton Road. I believe the name of that is The Oaks. It's on Canton Road. We might be going after service to visit her. If anybody wants to join us, let us know. So I visited her in the hospital. She was much better than I thought. She's in good spirits, and she has some problems with her sodium level, so they were trying to stabilize that. I'm believing it probably done. So please continue to pray for Jean and her family, especially during this rehab time, that she will have a pleasant time there and also to continue her recovery there. Pray for Barbara Casey, Harry Bezor, Carol, Claudia, Jerry, and Lou Hughes. Continue to pray for these people in your regular prayers. God will be with them too during this time of their illnesses, that they will have a full recovery. And above all, we pray for peace in their in their lives. Let us pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all of those who are working behind the scenes on an everyday basis for our needs. Let us be thankful for their services and also pray for them and their families. Pray for our nation, our leaders of the country, president, Vice President, Governors of the State, and many others who make decisions. Also during this election year, that we will have a peaceful election that will unite our country and be strong again to continue our leadership of the world. Let us pray that God will raise up the right leaders at the right positions. Let's pray for the world leaders also, when they make decisions, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions to bring peace to this world, especially in the areas of Israel and Palestine and many other parts of the world that are going through riots and problems. And we pray that God will intervene and give peace, and all those people who are affected by those, that God will give them the resources during this time. Let us pray for our church, all the churches around us in this community and around the world, that God will give them the grace to continue to do the work faithfully with the opportunities that God has given us to do, and leaders of the church and pastors, that God will raise the right leaders also for His work in this community and around the world. Those are the prayer requests that I have for our regular prayers. Anybody have any special prayer requests or anything else to add? Anybody? If not, let us go to God in prayer. We'll spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. The scripture says we have the confidence in approaching God that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us, and we know that we have what we have asked of Him. Loving and gracious God, we come before You as Your children, trusting in Your promise that You hear and answer all of our prayers according to Your will and Your time. Thank You for the many blessings that You give us and rejoice in our lives along with all the things that you give us. Thank You for covering us with Your love and protection every day. We thank You for Your Son Jesus Christ, for the eternal life that You have provided us through His death and resurrection in this world. Help us, Lord, to understand that we are Your children, so that we can come before You and call You Father, that You will answer our prayers like a father answers his children. We have many burdens and concerns that we are coming before You with. We have many for us are broken in our bodies and in our souls and in our spirit. But the scripture that You have promised us, let even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We come before You, God, that You are our friend when we are lonely. And when we go through life's sorrows and loss, You give us the comfort and peace. You are the source of the true healing when we need healing in our bodies. You are the great physician, Lord. We lift up all of our dear ones who need healing in their bodies. Particularly, we pray for Jean McPrayer as she was in the hospital for a couple of weeks. We pray for Your grace upon her as she continues her rehab at the facility. We pray for Your grace upon her. Bless all those who care for her to be patient and loving. We pray for her family also. We pray for peace in her life and in their families. We pray for Your grace and continued healing on her. We pray for Barbara Casey, Harry Bezor, Carol Clements, Claudia Sinclair, Jerry Raines, Lou Hughes, and many, many others that are looking for healing in their bodies. We pray for Your grace and the healing hand to touch them, Lord, and heal them according to Your will and Your time. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives, and also the ones who care for them, to be patient and loving and caring and compassionate. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who are giving us services every day. We thank You for their services, and also pray for their service and pray for their families and pray for their lives to be safe. We pray for our nation as we go through an election year. We pray for Your special grace upon us, Lord, to have a peaceful election and a united country that we can grow forward and to be a leader of the world, Lord. We pray for our world leaders. We pray for Your grace upon them that will also fear God when they make decisions. Will bring peace to this world. We pray that You'll bring an end to all these riots and calamities and wars around this world. We pray for Your grace and peace. We pray for our church as we continue to do Your ministry in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using the opportunities that You have given us, Lord, faithfully. We pray for all the churches around us and the pastors and the leaders and the bishops and the many others who work in Your vineyard. Give them the grace and the strength of the power of Your Holy Spirit to do Your work in the vineyard faithfully and strongly. We pray for Your grace upon them. Be with us today, Lord, as we worship together. Help us to worship You in truth and in spirit too. As we meditate on Your word, we pray for Your word to talk to us and through us, that we will be a blessing to this world filled with the power of Your word. Bless each and every one of us here today according to You and according to our needs. Be with us so that we can lift up Your name and Your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers come forward and take up the offertory, please. Said, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you give, it will be measured to you also. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this opportunity you gave us to come before you with a portion of what you have given us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to always be faithful in using the resources that you have given us, Lord, for the glory of your kingdom in this world. We thank you for all of those who were able to give here today, Lord. And also we pray for those who could not give today. Bless all of them in your love, O God, and keep them safe under your mighty wings. Bless us today. Help us to use this offertory to share your love and care and compassion to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we will read the scripture now, which is taken from the book of Nehemiah. It's a minor prophet in the Old Testament. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 10.
When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it, would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word. As we come before your word, help us, Lord, to be humble and obedient, so that your word will work in us and through us to become a source of life and spirit to this world. Help us, Lord, to understand the meaning behind the message. Illumine our souls so that we can receive your word in spirit of love and healing and comfort. Bless us, Lord, with your presence and your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture we read today is from the book of Nehemiah, who is a minor prophet who wrote about the restoration of the people of God and building back their ruined city. In around 600 BC, after King Solomon's kingdom came to an end, and after the time of King Solomon, the whole kingdom of Israel was divided. It's a little bit of history to know behind it. There were 12 tribes of Israel that you all know, and they all were united as one nation under David, and David became king, and then Solomon became king after the time of David, his son Solomon. But Solomon strayed away from God, even though he was a great king. He was very knowledgeable and full of wisdom. But he did not follow God's commandments all the time. So after his time, they did not have a good successor to lead the country. And eventually the kingdom was divided into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The 11 tribes were in the northern part of the kingdom, and one tribe, the kingdom of Judah, was in the south. This was around 500, 600, 700 BC that we are talking about. And the northern kingdom with the 11 tribes eventually got conquered by many rulers, many like emperors around them, like the Babylonians and the Persians. They attacked the northern kingdom, and they also strayed away from God and started worshipping idols like the Egyptians. So they were scattered, and they left their homeland and spread all over the world. That's what the first spreading of the Jews that happened. But there was a little remnant, the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, one tribe, that stayed faithful to God's commandments and faithful to God. And they were strong, and they continued to stay as a kingdom. But they were also threatened by the enemies, like the Babylonians and the Persians and others at other countries at that time that were trying to invade them. So around 500 BC, they were taken over by the king Nebuchadnezzar. And he did not destroy the whole country of Judah, but he decided to use the resources in Judah to build up his empire in this world. King Nebuchadnezzar then took a lot of his people from Judah. He took a lot of young people who are full of energy and who were used for took them and educated them and gave them skills, because they were smart young people. So he took a lot of those people to his country and trained them to become skilled people in their country, and they were very good at learning crafts and skills. So they were a group of people who were taken to Babylon from Judah, became the migrants there, and they had left their home country and were taken to the kingdom of Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. But eventually Jerusalem was destroyed by other countries, and their walls were knocked down and destroyed. And One of the people who actually was a migrant in Babylon who was taken by King Nebuchadnezzar was Zerubbabel. And when he heard that the kingdom of Judah was invaded by other enemies and destroyed the temple and the walls around it, he was really grief-stricken and he was very sad. And he was a very close ally with the king, and he had a good job with the king's palace. And one day the king noticed that he was very sad and gloomy. And he asked him, "Why are you so sad?" And then he said, "Even though I am in a foreign land, I heard about the news of my homeland, the kingdom of Judah. People have taken over and destroyed the temples and the walls around the temple. And I wanted to go back and rebuild the temple and the walls around it." So the king granted his wish, and he gathered a group of people from Babylon to go back to Judah to rebuild the temple. That's what the background of this story is. So when they came to the destroyed ruins of the temple and the land in Judah, they came with a group of people, and he came there. Some people, enemies, like when Sanballat and Tobias, and there were like three people who were mocking them. And that's what we read here today. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and he was incensed. And he ridiculed the Jews. And he was telling, "What are these feeble Jews doing here? Will they finish this in one day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, just as they are burnt as they are now?" And one of them said, "Even a fox climbing upon their wall would break down their wall of stones." So that is what they faced when they got there. They started ridiculing them, making fun of them, and that made them go back to God in prayer, knelt down, and they were in tears. And we hear that, "They hear us, O God, we are despised. Turn their insults on back on them." That's what the prayer that they made when they heard the insults every day. So when we go through times of ruin and destruction and mocking and ridicule by our enemies around us and say that we will never come back to life, there is no future for these people. There is a God who can build our lives back better than it was before, from the ruins. And that is what God's faithfulness that I want to bring to you today. That's why I saw that, Jace, if you can bring up that picture that I used for screensaver today, is about the 9/11 that happened 23 years ago. Many of those who are born after that or when children during that time do not know the intensity and the trouble that we all had to go through. And this is a double rainbow that appeared on 9/11 in 2023 that was broadcasted in pretty much all the news channels, and I captured that and saved it. It's a double rainbow, unusually, happening on 9/11 in 2023. Even though the whole world thought that we were destroyed because of our financial center was in ruins, pretty much it shattered down to a bunch of rubbles. That's what happened. And the enemies thought that we are done. We will not revive and get up and become strong again. That's what the purpose was and the intent was behind it. But looking back about 23 years now, those who have gone through it, we have only praise and thanksgiving to God. Even with all the troubles that we had to go through and the grief and the agony of so many families, and about, I think, 3,500 to 4,000 people died, and their families' agony. After 23 years, we can only thank God for His faithfulness. We didn't like what happened. It was painful. But we were able to experience the faithfulness and the grace of God when we all got together and trusted a living God. And He took our rubbles and our stones and built a better and a stronger America after that. And you and I are the witnesses for it. So no matter what happens in our lives, when we go through troubles like that and the world around us mocks us and tells us that there is no future for these people, can they, like they said, can they bring life to these dead stones, all of these rubbles? God can bring life to the dead stones and bring stronger and better future from the rubbles and the ruins. God is a faithful God, and He continues to be faithful. There is a saying that you probably all heard, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we can say that for good, but at the same time, sticks and stones can also break our hearts and our minds too. Because of the ruins and the destruction that can happen with sticks and stones. What do we do when we are hit with those kind of sticks and stones? And our life and our situations around us become the rubble of stone, stones of rubble. We can look at those stones and say that even from these rubbles and stones, God can rebuild, and He will build a better and a stronger future for us. As personal lives, we can also take that from this story. So the stones in our path, there might be so many different stones that we have to encounter in our path. The stones of ruin, stones of rubble that these people faced when they went to rebuild their city. There are stones of other things that are going to be blocking our future and our path forward. It could be stones that we have to overcome. It may be our health. It may be a broken relationship. It may be something at work or something from the family. That as we grow forward, these stumbling blocks or stones are on our paths. But those are there. Those are real. We cannot ignore it. But we have to overcome them. And one of the sayings that I read was, the hills are there to climb on, not to climb around it. The hills are to climb on. We have to overcome the stones in our path. So there are stones. This particular people, when they came there and rebuilt, their stones were, even though they saw the rubbles and the stones that they had rebuilt from them, but they have other stones and blocks that they have to overcome. First of them, one of them was the stones of contentment and complacency. Many times they thought that, let's give up and go back. There's no point in rebuilding it. Just stay where we are. We are happy in a foreign land. Why do we have to go and rebuild our own native land? The stones of complacency that came. But at that time, we have to overcome. They had to overcome that stones of complacency and contentment and go forward to do the work of God, to rebuild that temple and the walls around it. If we get bogged down with contentment, we will never grow. We will get lazy. But people who have taken the steps to grow forward are always never content with what they have. I had learned about a story about Betty Nesmith, a secretary in a Dallas bank. She discovered or invented something called the whiteout. You know, the whiteout used to be, right now we don't use whiteout anymore. We don't use typewriters, right? But when we had typewriters, we used, you know, we cannot delete a word like we do on computers. So we used something called whiteout. She was a secretary in a bank building in Dallas. And she was a typist also. When she typed a lot of letters, she had to go back and retype all of them. She said, there got to be a better way to do this. So she concocted some solution in her kitchen. And she used it on her own typewriter in the papers to white out the marks and started that. And her friends and people around in the same office saw what she was doing. So it's a great idea. So she shared that with them. And the whole office, you know, spread like that, and she started making it more. And then she decided to market it because it has a good market. Anyway, this was going back, I mean, probably about 100 years back. Eventually, she started her own company, and then she approached some people to market it. And they said, well, this is not going anywhere. This is just like a paste. You can use something else. They just discounted it. But eventually, I believe one of those big companies called the Gillette company that makes the razors, they bought that from her for $45 million. We are talking about that time. And it just went all over the world. And you and I know that how many of whiteouts do I have in my drawers, even now, that I have used before. So if she had been discouraged by the negative words that the other companies told her when she approached them, she would have been discouraged and she would have been complacent with what she had and just forget it. But she continued to work and continued to call different companies until she got, I don't know how many companies she called. Somebody knew the worth of it and took that from her. And this was like years ago. So we should not be left with the rubbles and ruins of complacency and contentment like these people. The stones are a reality. We have to get over them. We have to get over our complacency. Then the stones of ridicule and condemnation. Whenever we start something new, or we start a project, or we start a ministry, there's going to be always ridicule and condemnation. Oh, this is not going to work. We have tried this before several times. This pastor tries this again. He's, you know, somebody, I have heard this so many times in many churches saying that, oh, we have tried it so many times. You know, when you want to try it and become a fool of yourself, so go ahead. So we'll get all the ridicules and condemnation about the things that we plan to do. But God wants his people to be stronger, to get over those kinds of stones and rubbles of condemnation and ridicule, so that we can go forward and build up his kingdom in this world without being stopped by these kind of rubbles and stones that we have to face. No matter what we are going through, we have to get over these stones in our lives. They are a reality. Then the stones of despair and exhaustion. We read that towards the end of that passage we read here today. Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, the strength of our laborers are giving out. There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. They were exhausted. Because so much rubble. And we went to Iceland this couple of weeks ago. So much rubble there. And I said, how do people live there? Because of the volcanoes that erupts every 3 or 4 years. All the lava comes there, and it comes with all that charred stuff over there. That's all you see there. Even in everywhere you go, these black, you know, rubbles and stones. No plants grow there. There's nothing there. But they make a living there. I mean, they try to continue to live there. They're happy with what their life there is. But when I look at those things, and it says about exhaustion and despair when you look at those kind of life there. But God, as God's people, God wants us to get over this kind of despair and exhaustion. It is natural that we get tired. Sometimes we want to give up because it's so much work. How are we going to finish this? But Sanballat and his people, and encouraged by the prophets like Nehemiah, who told them about the promise of God, that if you trust in God and his power, he can work miracles. Even in the rubbles, he can rebuild life and give you a better future. So don't get exhausted despair because of all the things that we have in our front that we have to do. So some projects are short term and some projects are for long term. We have to stay the long term run in the projects that we have to take in some cases. So the troubles of worries and cares of life were more difficult for them to overcome. So they were tempted to go back, giving up on the world. So God has given us many opportunities to do in this community. And the opportunities that give us, some of them are easy, some of them are very difficult. But we are here for the long term, to continue to do his work, to be a blessing to this community, even with all the stones and the blocks that we have to overcome through. giving God our best in the face of exhaustion, even when we are tired and feel like giving up. If we are committed to give God our best, even in our weakness, God will take and honor it. When I was young, I used to sing in a choir, and I'm talking about my teenagers. And we were practicing a song one time, and it's a very difficult song. And we were exhausted after practicing for like an hour. We said, let us find another song. This is not going to work. Then the choir master was very upset, but he wanted to make us sing that song. So we continued to practice, and one of our members said, anyway, let us sing that. 99% of the people don't know the difference, and if you make a mistake only. Then the choir master said, no. We are going to sing for that 1%. That is what excellency is. And he encouraged us, and we did it. And everybody appreciated it. So don't give up. Let us continue to do for that 1%. That God is looking for that 100% from us. And he is faithful to help us through if we put our mind to it and faithful to his promises. So Nehemiah was not discouraged or frightened by the circumstances or enemies. We saw that all those, you know, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Goshen, they were ridiculing them and making fun of them. Even they threatened them physically. So they had to actually fight against them physically to continue to do their work. And they did finish the work of the temple and the wall that they rebuilt, even with all these difficulties that they had to go through. So remember, as God's people, let us continue to go, do God's work. And also in our lives, when we are faced with stones of condemnation and ridicule, stones of discouragement and exhaustion, and tiredness and about to give up, remember that God is faithful. In the past, he was faithful in the past. He will be faithful today, and he will continue to be faithful in the future. Amen. Let us trust ourselves in his hands. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place to be faithful witnesses for his love in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 714, I Know Whom I Have Believed. If you are able, please stand.
To him against
people of God the scripture. God promises us through his scripture like this: who shall separate us from the love of God? If God is for us, who can be against us? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers in height or depth, nor anything else in this creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. God is a good God, he's a powerful God, and he is faithful. He'll be with us as we continue to do his work in this world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.